Well, what the Lord laid on my heart to minister upon is the topic of God's Word, God's Word. And I want to challenge us today in the area of what level of importance do you place upon the Word of God in your life? Does it have a value? Sometimes we only do things that we know that's going to give us something in return. And that's the only way we're going to invest our time, our talent, and our treasure. Do you know the Bible says that the Word of God is profitable? Profitable. You know, for 1,500 years, the Jewish nation was the only beneficiaries of God's holy Word. They were entrusted with the Scriptures to be able to attend to them and to, hear from God and write them down and things like this. But today, we live in an age since Jesus Christ came that the Scriptures are available to all who have ears to hear. Whoever has ears to hear. The Scripture I want to start with today should be a familiar passage in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. It says, "All Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." Let's pray. Father God, we thank You so much for this opportunity You've given us to come to You. We thank You, Lord, You have called us out of darkness into Your marvelous light. We thank You that we are no longer the same because we are a new creation in Christ. And right now, Lord, we just want to receive from Your Word. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge that You are the teacher, and I do yield to the gift You put inside of me, Lord. I use it for Your glory, and I bind the devil from trying to steal any words that are called forth to pierce or penetrate. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, I want to look at the word profitable for a moment. You know, how we look at life sometimes is that we're so busy and we have so many things that we have to do that there's only so many things that we can get involved in anymore. And so we probably look at it, you know, is this a profitable endeavor for me to get in? Unless you're one of those people that never say no. We'll talk to you later, amen? You know, sometimes you just got to say no to some things. But what's in it for me? What's in it for me? The word profitable means useful, advantageous, or beneficial. Now, when I was thinking about this, I was thinking about the miners back in the old days, the minor 49ers, right? You remember who they were? Some of you kids, I don't know if they teach that in history anymore. But what it was is there was a gold rush out in California. So a lot of people out east, they sold everything that they had. And they loaded up and they headed west. All for one thing, they were hoping to find gold. Now, how many would like to find some gold? Be honest, we all would like to find a nugget or two, wouldn't we? I mean, that'd kind of take a little of the edge off of life, wouldn't it? You know, money can't buy happiness, but it does buy comfort sometimes. You know, not all the time, but it does help. So they would light out either by wagon, or they would have their horse with their donkey coming behind them, or burro, and they would go out and they would go to a place. And then what would happen is that they would follow a hunch. And with that hunch, they would start digging. Now, I don't know about you, but picture yourself today. Now, we wouldn't go by horse or wagon. Picture yourself getting in your car today with a shovel and a pickaxe, driving all the way to California, then all of a sudden, just somewhere, wherever you felt lucky, you would stop the car, you would get out, and you'd start digging. All in hope of finding gold. That'd be kind of iffy, wouldn't it? Most of us would not probably, you know, take that chance or that, you know, risk of, you know, quitting our jobs and pulling up stakes and going out just to find it. And what they would do is they would go there and they just start digging and digging and digging. You know, I don't know about you, but I've had to dig a little bit in my life and it's really not that fun. You know, I mean, you just start digging for something and you don't even know if it's there or not. But yet you've heard. You've heard somebody tell you there's gold in them thar hills, right? Remember that? Them old prospectors, there's gold in them thar hills. all because somebody else found something, they were willing to risk everything and go and start to just find so they could, you know, sift through that dirt and just find that one nugget, just a nugget. And they just knew that the next pickaxe, the next strike of that pick is going to find the mother lode. And that desire kept them going and going and going. Now, I really feel that we need to be the same attitude with the Word of God. In the sense that there's nuggets in the Word of God, there's nuggets of truth that you and I can glean from. Now, what keeps us going, I hope, is the fact that we've heard testimonies of other people that have gotten great revelation out of the Word of God. And we know that God's not a respecter of persons. So I believe if anybody is willing to start digging in God's Word and start going through God's Word, and you're going to be able to find some things because, you know, but what are some of the things that hold us back? I know when I first got saved and I went and bought my first Bible, and what I did is I just went to the bookstore and I asked somebody, I need a Bible, and really the translation I got and everything that was involved in it, I don't want to go into it too much, but it wasn't the best thing for me. I took it to church, and somebody seen that translation, they go, "What's this?" I showed them, and they says, "You know that's a different kind of Bible, don't you?" I mean, it was Christian, but it had some non-Christian things in it that were kind of weird, without going into too much. And I go, "Well, yeah, it's a Bible, you know. I didn't know any different." And see, when I picked it up, I mean, most of you have a Bible today. Some of you use electronic devices. But that thick book, it can be intimidating. Especially if you're coming at it, maybe you was raised in a church, you know, and maybe you have a little bit of background. You have a little comfort level with it. But I mean, if you come at it from a new perspective where you've never really read the Bible, and you pick up that thick book, and, you know, it's really kind of intimidating. Some things kind of go through your mind. Like, you know, where do I start reading? That's a common question. A lot of new believers ask somebody, "Well, where do I start?" Well, someone say, "I'm going to start in Genesis." I go, "Ooh, that's okay, you know, but when you hit, you know, Chronicles, we're going to lose you. You know, I'm afraid, you know, you get in the Numbers and, you know, Chronicles ain't so bad, but you get in the Numbers and things like that, and when it goes who begot who, you know, you're going to probably get bogged down and you're probably going to lose interest. So we usually try to steer people to the New Testament. And that gets them right into the covenant that we're used to, and then they can backtrack and pick up some bits and pieces. And then another question that kind of intimidates somebody is the fact of, how do I understand it? And what if I understand it wrong? Have you ever felt like that? How about I read the Bible and I get the wrong message? And I live my life like that. So that's kind of scary, that maybe you get the wrong information. And you won't say it right, or you won't do it right. As I always said, when I got saved, for some reason, right after I got saved, they changed one of the books in the Bible. You know, they changed it from the book of Job to the book of Job. You know what I mean? Because when I bought that Bible, I could have swore that said the book of Job, and I didn't understand that in one bit, you know. But then I found out later it's the book of Job. But see, I hung around the right people. You know, finding a good church and being involved, and they'll help to steer you, you know, the right way. Now, hidden in the pages of that book that you're holding right now, or that electronic device, is everything. It says there in 2 Timothy 3:17, it says there's everything that we need to be adequate and equipped. Everything you're going to need. Now think about that for a minute. Everything that you're going to need in the kingdom of God, everything that God has called you to do, that information is in there. It may not be exactly how you're supposed to do it all the time. That time, that comes by, you know, getting close to God and let the Holy Spirit start to lead you. But yet, all the information that you need is right there at your disposal. Now, I don't know about you, but if I had a manual for life, you know, I would try to find out what's in there. I would try to find out just exactly what it is. Now, there's two words that we use, you know, in Bible land, shall we say, to explain the Bible. You got the word logos and you got the word rhema. They're both Greek words that we use, and they explain just a little bit different approach to God's Word. Now, the first one that you and I look at is the Greek word logos. And that's talking about the big picture, and that's the general information of the Bible. So when you're reading through the Bible, you're gleaning and learning things. You're getting the big picture of really what God's trying to tell you. And I encourage you to try to read through the whole Bible. You know, some people, you know, only read bits and pieces, their favorite parts. And that's all good. Everybody likes chocolate, right? But you can't live on chocolate. You got to have some vegetables. You got to have some meat. You need some decent food too. So you got to find some things in there. Well, then as you're reading the Logos and you're going through it, just keep putting the word in, letting the Holy Spirit reveal to you. All of a sudden, in a blink of an eye, there's something in that book that's going to jump right out at you. And that's what happened to me. I think it was during Bible school last week. We were going through this scripture, and the minister was saying that, and I was reading it. All of a sudden, boom, the word profitable just jumped off the pages into my heart. Well, I could either blow that off, or I could explore it. And see, that was a rhema word from God. That was the Holy Spirit taking the Logos, something that I was already reading, and he was bringing me something special. And what that is, it's a personal revelation for that moment. And see, that's what you and I need to get also. You need both operating in your life. Now, some people just live off the rhema. They try to just, oh, I got to hear from God. I got to hear from God. I got to hear from God. Oh, if I don't hear from God, oh my. Well, if you read the Bible, you're going to hear from God. God's going to tell you some things that we need to know. He's going to tell you how we need to live our life, some things that we need to start doing, and some things we need to stop doing, right? Come on now. That's just the way it is. You know, but then all of a sudden in that process, you start to get something and that rhema word just starts to come to you. And all of a sudden you get that revelation. That's something that God is trying to get through to you. It's something for where you're at right now, and you need that right now. And it might be something that's just coming down the road a little bit. And so you start to explore that scripture, and how you do that is you meditate on it. You don't go home profitable. No, that's not what I did. You read that scripture over and over. You start to meditate on it. Well, how can that scripture profitable? What is profitable about the Word of God? And so you read it over and over and over. And then you get quiet. You shut up for a minute. Amen? That might be hard for some of us. But yes, you shut up for a minute. And then you let God try, have an opportunity to maybe show you some things. Some things in the Word that's going to help you. That's going to get you to the next place where you need to be. And as we do that, you know, God is going to start to change our life. And see, we can trust that. One thing that I like about this is the Word of God, it says, you know, is inspired. It's God-breathed. And that's why it's profitable. You know, that's why Jesus says man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So that's important. Now, I know in some cultures, sometimes some people are taught, well, you're not supposed to really read it on your own. You might misunderstand it. You just come here and we'll tell you what you need to know. Amen. That's not good, is it? You know, I used to do a lot of street evangelism, and I remember in, you know, different cultures or different places I've been in different countries, you know, one guy told me that, I've shared this before, that he says, yeah, I have a Bible in my living room. I says, cool. He says, yeah, I take it down and kiss it every day. Say, what? You kiss it. Well, it's good that you love the Word, but to love it, you got to get it inside of you. It doesn't do any good to kiss the book, man. You get chapped lips, something like that, you know. Plus, you'll make the leather kind of mess up a little bit. You know, no, you got to open it. You have to get it inside of you. Now, what I like to look at it from is the attitude that when we come to God and we get into the Word of God, He promises us one thing. You'll be prepared and not scared. Prepared and not scared. Have you ever been thrown into a situation in your life that you were vastly undertrained? Just vastly. Mainly, nobody else showed up and now you're the boss. Or something like that. Or maybe you received some big promotion at work. Maybe you were a better worker than everybody else. Or maybe whatever the case may be, but the boss says, okay, now you're boss. And now you're the boss over your friends or your peers. And that's a hard job to do. It's one thing to complain against management, but now you're management. Right? Now all your friends are talking about you. And see, when we get thrown into some things in life and we're vastly under-trained, it can be kind of intimidating. You know, it's okay to wing it, but you can't wing it. And it can't be a way of life. You know, some people just live their life winging it. You know, and that's frustrating. You may think you're really getting stuff done, but the people working around you, they're going crazy, man. They're going crazy because you're winging it. Preparation is never lost time. Now, can you remember what it was like to be a first-time parent? This might bring a little more clarity to it. Maybe you've never been the boss of your peers, but a lot of us have been a parent before. You know, you watch other people parent, but then all of a sudden you take this life that came out of nowhere, it seemed like, and all of a sudden you put it in the car seat and you haul them home from the hospital. And it's just the two of you. And you're looking at each other. What do we do now? You know, the first one, you're overprotective, right? You about wrap them in bubble wrap. You don't know everything for sure that really needs done here. And, you know, praise God, you know, there's phones. Now you can call mom or grandma to find out, what do I do? What do I do? What? I'm vastly underqualified. I'm not sure. Temperature? Do I give them this now? Do I give them that now? When do I start giving them real food? All these things. You're vastly underprepared. Like I say, until the second one comes along. And then all of a sudden you're a professional. You start writing books about it. How easy it is. Huh? Until the teenage years. Then you're vastly underprepared again. You know, when they start to go through all those, you know, changes. And then that sweet little kid you lived with isn't sweet anymore for a while. But they come back. They come back after a while. And see, what we need to understand is in life, that's where the Word of God comes in. And if we're willing to come to the place in our walk where we understand, you know, that, you know, we're underprepared for life unless we get the information that we need, and that's the Word of God, and we start to bring that into our life. Now, as we do that, we start to see some things start to take place. One thing that I like about it is the Word of God helps us to understand the why that goes with the what. And what I mean by that, I'm a why kind of guy. For whatever reason, I function better in life if I understand why. Now, one of the most frustrating things for me to do in the last several years is when I built a church website. It was a WordPress site that I'd purchased and has deals with churches. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever built a website before, but some of them are harder than others. And I didn't understand the concept. I needed to understand why that if I put this little widget, all I had to do is activate that widget and it went to the right spot. But I wanted to know why it went to the right spot. And that held me up for months. Just frustrated me. I didn't know why it did that. Finally, I just come to the conclusion, get over it, man. Somebody programmed it that way, you know, and move on. But it took me months because, you know, and that's what helps me to fix things. I like to fix things because I understand the why. If you know how why something works, you can figure out, you know, what you need to do to make it right. And see, sometimes, you know, in life, you know, that's what we need to do. And the what comes natural. It's a progressive result of the why. And I believe that's the benefit of God's Word. If anything that I've learned about God, very simple revelation, but I, you know, it's very profound, is that Jesus doesn't deal with our actions only, but He deals with the motive behind the actions. And once we understand that, we're going to start to grow. Because the Word of God will become profitable to us. Because it's really just religion. If somebody tells you you can't do something, but you don't understand why, usually there's something nagging you in your head, and that spirit of rebellion can come out sometimes. But Jesus wants to deal with the motives in our heart so that we can understand what it is exactly that He wants for us to do. And as we start to get into the Word of God, it starts to be revealed to us. Now, next we look at the idea of what it's talking about to be adequate and equipped. Now, these two words, adequate and equipped, in the Greek are very similar in their meaning, but they mean just a little bit different from each other. I'm going to read both of them. The word adequate means to be complete or completely qualified to perform some function, and also to be whole so that they may serve their destined purpose. And the word equipped means to put in appropriate condition to make competent or proficient. Now, some of you work jobs where you probably had to be trained. You know, you don't just show up and then you just kind of do it. No, you have to go through a process. Like if you're in construction trades, there's an apprenticeship process where you're going through, and hopefully your supervisor or the person that's training you will put you in different situations so that you learn about all the different levels of things that you're supposed to know later on. And that's important, because at the end of your apprenticeship, you are now the leader. You are then adequate and equipped to be able to carry off that anything, for the most part, that comes down the line at you. And that's what God wants us to feel like when it comes to the calling that He has on our life. God has a call on each of our lives. There are certain giftings and talents that He's put inside of each and every one of you. Now, with that, you may feel underqualified, and you don't know everything about how to do it. But if you start to get into the Word of God, and you go through the process, and allow God's Word to start to work in your life, you're going to start to grow, and then you're going to start to see that you are ready for some of the things that you've been called in to do. Now, the Word of God, what it will do if you get the Word in your life, is going to put you in a position to succeed. Because I believe we've all probably failed. You're going to fail in life. You know, the only person that never fails is somebody that never does anything. You know, so as soon as you embrace failure as a learning process, you're on the road to recovery. Amen? Because a lot of people can't take failure. They blame other people. The reason why this didn't go right is because they, or he, or she. But basically, it's you. Right? And as soon as we admit it, that nobody's perfect, and we all make mistakes, then we can go to the next level. Because then we become a learner, and we can start to be able to understand the things that we need to kind of learn about. Now, so this growth that we go through in life is a process. It's a process of learning. And as we are willing to do it and get into it, and that's why it's good for us to, you know, get involved and start to try to assimilate information on different levels. As we start to get the Word of God in our life, and then we start to apply it to our life. See, I don't like a teacher that never applies it. It's all theory. You know, I don't really, you know, respect that. You know, I want to, you know, I sometimes teachers, you know, sometimes in life they try to tell us what to do. But a shepherd will show us. Amen. Amen, by lifestyle. And that's what we need to do. And that's why, you know, we tell our kids, you know, when I was growing up, that old saying, do as I say, not as I do. That don't float anymore, does it? You know, we need to be leading by example. And as we let the Word of God start to get in our life. Now, as we grow into this calling that God's put inside of us, I know for my life where I started and where I've progressed to now. It didn't happen overnight. You know, I started out, you know, I felt God had a call on my life ever since before I got saved. You know, I growing up as a teenager, I never really knew a lot about God in a sense. I prayed to Him every night. I know that He delivered me from death several times. But I never really, you know, got into the Word of God or was really as into church. And then finally I come to the point in my life where I decided I wanted God more than I wanted anything else. So then I found a church and bought a Bible and went through the process. Well, then I started to learn. Well, then all of a sudden after being there a while, you know, I started to feel God called me to do some things. And the first thing I started to do was teach three-year-olds. And I was 24 years old. A boy, never had any nephews or nieces or anything like that. Hadn't been around kids and a whole lot, but the church had a need. And I had an unction. I had a desire to serve God. So I started there. And I was faithful there until, praise God, He called me out. Amen. It was good while it lasted. But then finally, then God moved me somewhere else. But that was where I felt comfortable because you know what? You couldn't get me to pray in front of an adult to save my life. I didn't feel comfortable praying in front of adults. But it didn't bother me praying in front of little kids. So I started there. And I developed confidence. And then God took me to the next phase of where I was supposed to be. And through that process, I was a learner. I wanted to learn, and I kept getting to the Word of God, and it kept kind of cutting away the bad stuff in my life and building up the good. And finally, I got to the place where, you know, I could, you know, God was using me a lot of different ways. But one thing that I found out, and I hope you really remember this part here, is that everything you do in life, and especially in the things of God, in the kingdom of God, is that everything's going to come back to the standard of measure. The standard of measure. What I mean by that is by what you put into it is what you're going to put out, get out. You know, a lot of people, when they first get saved, they get on fire for God. And they're go, 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 I want God, I want God, you know, boom, boom, boom. But then after several years, they lose that fire. Before long, they're not investing in their spiritual life like they used to. And they wonder why they're not getting much of a return anymore. Because they pulled back. You remember that time we're not going to take up another offering now, but I was taking up the offering. I had a spoon and I had a shovel, right? Those are two measuring things. You know, the spoon is how we want to give, but the shovel is how we want God to give back to us, right? Amen. Well, it doesn't work like that all the time. If you only give with a spoon, you're going to get back with a spoon. Now, I know God multiplies things, and we're not going to go into that aspect right now. But primarily, it's what we put into us, what we get back. And I want to challenge you today, when it comes to the Word of God, of what you start to, how you start to look at it and how you start to approach it, and you start to look at that book, and you see, man, that thing is profitable. That's profitable for my life. Because I know that God has a plan for my life. And as I put that Word of God in there, it's going to be like, it's going to draw out. It's going to come out like you drop a bucket down into a well to draw out water. You know, things are going to start to come out in your life, and as you start to apply God's Word. So that standard of measure is talking about the level of importance or priority that you have in your life. Now, I know priorities are important. You know, a lot of times, you know, you and I, we mess up our priorities, don't we? Husbands, we neglect our wives and we go off and do other things. Wives, maybe they neglect some things and things just don't get done. And, you know, and there's a lot of those things. But, you know, we need to make sure that we keep things in order. Now, what I found out is with the level or priority of importance is that, you know, we are blessed financially by the standard of measure that we give. You know, according to that. We're blessed spiritually by the level of importance that we put on the Word of God. How important is it? And lastly, we're blessed emotionally by the level of importance we put on connection with other believers. See, that's the last part of the puzzle that really helps us to grow. Is that when we connect with other people, because sometimes if we want to wonder why we're really maybe not advancing in the kingdom the way that we could or should be, it's maybe the fact that we become an island. And we need to reach out and we need to try to make other connections. Because the Bible says iron sharpens iron. The Bible says pray for each other that you may be healed. You know, it takes everybody working together to be able to make the whole. And as we're willing to participate in the way that God does things, and He has the promise, is that you and I are called to do every good work. Every good work. God hasn't called you to do bad works. He's called us to do good works. So as we looked at this passage today, you know, we were able to see somewhat the what and the why of what God's doing, meaning the origin and the purpose of Scriptures. See, it came from God. It was God-breathed. And the purpose was to make us adequate so that we would be ready to do things. Next week, we're going to look at the how a little bit. There's a four-point thing that God mentions in that scripture that tells us how he wants to work in our life. And I believe that once we understand how God's word can be profitable for our lives, I believe we're willing to invest. Just like anything in our life, once we see that it's a worthwhile endeavor, then we have no problem getting involved. Let's bow our heads in prayer.